Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to another episode of the For the Healthy Host podcast.
We talk about conscious living, self-awareness, and everything in between.
I'm your host, Ree.
Sunset Tim.
Thank you for joining us and allowing us to be a part of your journey.
How you feel today?
I feel fine. The last couple of weeks, I feel like it hasn't been normal. Like, you know, the week before last, Zuri was sick. Last week, I was sick. Then this past weekend, we went home. So I just feel like my routine has been off. I haven't been to the gym. But this morning, I did a little slow morning routine. So that helped ground me a little bit. I'm also... You're mad at me. You're mad at me.
I ain't mad at you. I just don't. I'll rock with you right now. I just don't.
So, like, my heart is in my stomach right now.
Oh, cut the, you know, matter to you like that.
Stop it, dude. Playing, why bro. Would you think it don't?
Stop playing, bro.
How are
Stop
you?
Stop it. I'm okay. I feel good. Yeah, like you said, life ain't been as normal as it used to be. You were sick. Zuri was sick, you know, so she was at home for a week. I'm dealing with an injury. I haven't got to go to the gym.
Oh, yeah.
With our kids being home more, there's been less time with us. There's less time for itself in between all of this. So life just been really weird, you know what I mean, as of late. Not necessarily weird, just out of the norm.
Yeah, different.
Out of the norm schedule. But it's getting back to normal. This week should be the first full week of anything close to normal, what we know it as. So, you know, but I've been okay. I've been good during it all. Physically, I've been good. I ain't get sick. I was like one of the only people in the house.
Shout out to your immune system.
Did not get sick.
Aubrey didn't get sick either.
But shit, she don't be around.
She be in her own world. Well, she be around. She just don't be in our face. Like, you know, Zuri, like, Zuri always in our face. She the little one.
Yeah, my little one stay in somebody's arms. She still ain't got out of the
baby face.
Yeah, the baby face. She still want to be held whenever she is possible.
Because you can hold her. Even with our older daughter, you did that. I had to tell you to stop holding her. I was like, she's five.
Yeah. I still going to hold them whenever I want to.
I know. Yeah. How was your trip back home?
My trip back home was cool. I got to see a lot of people I hadn't seen. Some family members in a very long time. I got to see a lot of them. And it was good to see my people.
Yeah, I got to see my favorite person. His granny.
Yes.
Y'all, I love her. Like, one thing about it, before we left, we was like, we might as well go and get ready. She gonna let you know if you gain some weight. What she say? She said, yeah, Wayne, they call him Wayne. Yeah. Wayne, you can get fat. It look good on you, though. She's hilarious.
She always weight checking. Everybody come through her door. She gonna let you know if you got fatter or smaller, small, whatever
you
it
losing
is.
Losing weight, yes.
My granny gonna let me know. So, yeah, that was the highlight of the trip, seeing my grandma. I do love that woman with all my heart.
Me too.
I don't know. Hold on. I forgot to ask y'all. How y'all feeling from the Qs?
How y'all doing? How was the holiday? How was seeing family? Or if you chose not to be with family, how was that? How was that time with yourself? How are you in this moment? How's your heart?
So, without a... formalities out the way. What are we rapping about today?
Today, we're doing a Q&A. I'm really excited. It's my favorite thing to do. And I do want to say, we got a ton of questions. So, obviously, we're not going to be able to answer every question. But the ones that we don't get to, we definitely plan on answering. Did I say that right? We definitely plan on answering some, like on our IG stories and maybe even TikTok as well.
Mm-hmm. So, be looking out. We're going to try to get to, like I said, a lot of questions. Like I said, if it's not on here, then, you know, check the page out. We're going to do something there as well.
Yes.
You want to get it started?
Yes. So one of the questions that we got and I've seen a couple times is, what inspired y'all to start the podcast? So the podcast was my idea, duh.
Shut up.
But no, even before we started it, I would always say, babe, we need to start a podcast. We need to start a podcast. Because we would always have these conversations like, when we get on this podcast, we have these conversations, it's like, yes, it's a quote-unquote a podcast. It's a show. But we will be having these conversations already. We have conversations like this all the time. And I think we're funny. Like, we're the funniest people I ever met. And I think with anything, if you have a desire to do that thing, you should do it. And nobody's going to do it like you do it, the way that you do it. Like, I feel like our approach to wellness and healing, it don't necessarily always be about wellness and healing, because if you're living, you're healing. You know what I'm saying? Because to me, everything is wellness. But I love our approach to it because it's not that serious. Although we be talking about serious things sometimes and deep things sometimes, it's fun. We all just here. We all just a community. We living. We having a conversation. And yeah. What inspired you to start the podcast?
Community.
Yes.
That was, I thought, was the biggest motivating factor behind starting the podcast. We had For the Healthy Hoes going before the podcast. So yeah. We didn't start with the podcast. But we wanted a deeper connection with people.
Agreed.
So you kept pushing to, like, we need to do something like audio. You know, you already had the YouTube going, yeah. But it wasn't the same type of connection that the podcast is giving us. So when we added that element in, it really, like, birthed an online community that we're going to take physical as well. I know somebody asked about we're going to go on tour and, like, meet and greets
in the U.S. because we do have, well, I have the retreat with Black Girl Magic, but that's like a collab, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's not in the U.S., but to answer that question,
yes, we're 100%. Definitely going to do meetups. We're trying to get our location targets down pat. Mm-hmm. Really trying to find out where y'all at. So if y'all just want to hit us with locations on Instagram, TikTok, yeah, wherever, just let us know where y'all at, because we do plan on pulling up. We just need to know where everybody is.
Yeah, we kind of got an idea. But I also, are you scared? I'm kind of scared.
No.
I be like,
Not with community. Not with this community. No, I ain't scared.
I know. They show up for us every time. But I be scared nobody gonna come.
Even if three of y'all show up, we just gonna have a nice convo with T, whatever it might be.
I love that.
So yeah, getting into the next question. What are some of the most difficult lessons you've learned in your long-term relationship?
You can go first.
Anybody can be toxic. I got toxic traits, whether I view them as coping mechanisms or whatever it might be. I can definitely rub somebody the wrong way, even though I never, or you, or no one really, for the most part, no one is intentionally out there trying to, you know, disturb somebody's peace, but it happens. Like, of course, you can rub somebody the wrong way. It's one of the lessons I've learned. And then the next one is that I only got so much that I can control. You can't make someone feel a certain way. I can't make her feel better. I can't make her happy.
You can
happy
make me feel better.
Sometimes, but that's temporary. I can't make you long-term happy. Then it's like, I'm not making you happy. I'm entertaining you.
Yeah.
And that's a cycle of energy that you're just giving out when you're entertaining somebody in a relationship so long. Because you can't entertain somebody and heal and take care of yourself in the same, you know what I mean, fashion. It's really difficult to do. I don't recommend anybody be in a relationship where you're entertaining them the entire time just to make them happy. What about you? You got to have something for you. Because if you're giving that to them, then what are they giving back to you?
I feel like just being, like, sometimes it don't take a lot of things. Like, you're using the word entertaining, but I think just your presence can help someone's journey.
That's what you learned?
Yeah, that's what I learned. And that's also my rebuttal to what you said. Also, it's okay to want to be alone sometime in your relationship. I feel like with relationships, I think it gets misconstrued that, like, oh, you got to spend every single minute together. But I think the alone time is so important. And I used to feel guilty, and I used to like question myself, like, why do I want to be alone? And a lot of times, most of the time, it has nothing to do with, like, my partner, or, like, with you. It has more to do with myself and things that are on my mind and things that I've experienced lately. But it's totally okay to want to have time alone. And another thing is, like, I'm not always going to like you. I'm not going to always like you. You're not going to always like me. I feel like even though we're talking about romantic relationships, this can go with any type of relationship, anybody that you're around all the time. I think it's natural that you're probably going to butt heads 9 times out of 10 because y'all are two different beings. Y'all don't even see the world the same, exactly the same. Why would you? You're two different people. But, yeah, just understanding that I'm not always going to like you, and that's okay. You're not going to always like me. Now, if you're going months without liking somebody, then you might need to sit down and have a conversation. But, you know, it usually be 30 minutes. Like, for 30 minutes, I don't like you. But that's something that I learned in our long-term relationship.
Next question. I'm almost 18. What can I do mentally to prepare myself for life after graduation? If I could tell my younger self anything, patience is the biggest thing. It's kind of like, you know, you finally at this point where you can run your race exactly how you want to, and you want to just take off with as much speed as possible. But I would advise you to be as gentle and give yourself as much grace and time as the world offers you. Be calm about this situation. I know it seems like, like I said, you're ready to take the world by storm, but you don't have to take it by storm. You know what I mean? Bit by bit, be patient with yourself and don't compare. Yeah. You're way too young to be comparing yourself to anyone. Even when you get older. Yeah, I mean, comparison is never going to really just help you out. But be patient. Don't compare your story to anybody else's. Don't compare your pockets to anybody else's. Don't compare anything you got going on to anybody else's. Just take your time. You'll get there wherever you want to be.
Agree. I love that. Something I heard literally yesterday when I was watching the TV show is that you don't actually start living until you're 40. Everything else before that is just research.
I get that.
I know. I love that quote. I don't think we understand, like, 18, you're a baby.
Yeah, you're still a baby. I know you're tired of hearing it, though.
You're a baby. And I feel like because of the world that we live in, we get to see, you know, all of these young people on the internet doing all of the things. So it makes us feel like we got to be doing all the things. Yeah. And it makes us feel like we're behind, or we got to be doing this, that, and third. We got to have it all figured out. I still don't have it all figured out. Mm-mm. And I think it's important to always be learning. Just keep learning about the world. Keep learning about yourself. Honestly, I think we should, even like myself, this is advice I'm giving to myself, I should wake up every day with a beginner's mind. Mm-hmm. Like with like a clean slate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But definitely just to go back on pretty much everything you said, don't be too hard on yourself. You don't have to have it all figured out right now. Be gentle. Give yourself some grace. Who cares what? And I think especially at that age, I wish I was more in tune with myself, but that is a great time. Anytime is a great time, but especially that young, it's a great time to figure out what you want. Don't worry about pleasing everyone else.
Parents,
society, and don't worry about expectations and people's obligations. That's none of your business. Learn what it is that makes you happy. And when you can really do the thing that lights you up, that fulfills you, that makes your heart sing, that's all that matters. You're walking in your purpose when you can do what makes you feel good.
Yeah, and another thing to add in, advice is overrated.
Advice is so overrated.
Advice is very overrated. Seek experience. Just go out and do it. That's better. Whatever advice you getting offered, it's okay to listen to it. It is fine, but experiencing it for yourself is much better than taking advice on it.
Agree. I love that.
Okay, next we got, are you a full-time content creator? If so, how do you like it? That is, I'm gonna let you lead that.
Yes, we are. Mm-hmm. We love it. I think with everything, it has its pros and its cons, but obviously way more pros than cons. Mm-hmm. I think in the beginning, it was difficult. And I think me and you just had this conversation the other day. Like, even though we've been doing content creation full-time for, I would say about a year full-time, right?
Something like that, yeah.
we still have the mindset of working for somebody else in a sense.
Yeah, I like
Well, I'm going to get to that. We're so used to somebody else telling, well, for me personally, I'm going to speak for me. I was used to somebody else telling me like, okay, we're going to do this at this time. But then when you're working on your own, it's completely different. There's somebody to tell you to do X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. So, and then especially having children, you really have to have a routine. Mm-hmm. So here recently, I started using Notion. I've always been a plenty girl. That's what my daughter told me. Yes. I always wrote things down.
Schedule.
So important. But now I've been using like my laptop and stuff. But now that I have, I'm finally getting to the point where I have that structure. Everything is falling in line. But yeah, I love it. Do you love it?
Yeah, I do. I love that I don't have a ceiling on what I can make or what I can bring or my potential.
Didn't even think about that.
I love the position. I love being able to work from home or wherever I want to work from. I love the freedom that comes along with it. At times, have I missed the, like, for sure, I got this money coming in, the paycheck? Yeah, I've missed it at times, for sure. But I will not miss having a ceiling on my head, meaning, like, cap how much money I can make in this position or how long I have to be in this position. I don't miss that at all.
Even a cap or ceiling on ideas as well. Oh, yeah,
even on your ideas, you know what I mean? I don't miss having a ceiling over me, but consistency. But that, like you said, coming along with planning and scheduling, you know, the paper becomes consistent when you own your shit consistently.
Definitely. But what I miss, though, is coworkers. Some of them.
You miss coworkers?
I miss, like, that social aspect.
I do not one bit miss the social aspect of work.
I do. I like people.
I like people, too. Rarely do I like the people I worked with, though.
That's true.
I like the people I work with now a lot better.
I think I do, too.
Like you, Sean, Steve, like I like the people I work with now so much better because one, I got to choose them.
True.
You know what I mean? So I like them a lot better.
Yes.
Okay. This is a good one, a funny one too. Rather be lost in space or deep sea?
Well, I can't swim.
That is true.
So sea is out of the question. But you know, I need to learn how to swim.
Go ahead. I'm not. I don't know if you like me. You waiting on me too? You know, I don't really.
I love water.
You do love water.
So it's just ironic that I don't know how to swim. I would have to definitely say space, lost in space.
I'd rather be lost in space too, just because I just don't know that much about it. I'd love to explore it.
Exactly.
I'd love to be lost. I'd love for my shit to be like an episode of Cowboy Bebop.
You've never watched
Cowboy.
Well, I think I watched a little bit, but not enough to know what you're talking about.
If you've watched Cowboy Bebop, you know what I mean? I'd rather be like Spike, you know what I mean, and going wherever I wanted to, doing whatever the fuck I wanted to throughout of space. I feel like it's a lot in space I don't know. I feel like in the sea, I kind of know what's happening in the sea.
Yeah.
I feel like I ain't going to be surprised when I'm in the deep water.
Yeah, I feel like with a...
Unless I see Ariel. Then it's like, whoa.
You might see Ariel in there. You might see you.
But I can't escape capitalism in the sea. I feel like it still hits me in the sea for some reason.
I feel like you're still...
Western mindset's still in the sea. For some reason, I feel like they still fucking with the sea. I'd rather be lost in space.
I do too. And I feel like with space, it's more of a spiritual connection. But I mean, water is a spiritual element as well, but like space, I feel like you're closer to the stars, closer to the other galaxies.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I feel it. And like I said, I feel like there will be less, well, I feel like there'll be less racism in space than there'll be in the sea. I feel like I'm going to find some type of form of racism in the sea.
Yeah.
I don't know why, though. I feel like I'm going to find it. I feel like they're going to, because I'm still on Earth, so I feel like they're going to find a way to bring it down to me. I'd rather go to space.
Yeah, you're hilarious.
How did you navigate changes within your relationship when you had kids at a young age?
I'll let you go.
We didn't. At that age, I was still a baby. We had a baby. We was winging most of everything.
Yeah, I feel like I'm still winging it.
Yeah, for the most part. I got a better handle on it now. But at that age, purely was winging it. It's not something that somebody so young can just be prepared for raising somebody right. else. So at times we was lucky enough a lot to where Reed's mom would take on our child on the weekends. So we would actually still get to be young on the weekends.
Mm-hmm, still and get to be kids.
Be kids and then come back, you know, Sunday afternoon, you know, we get back to being, you know, these young adults with the child.
Mm-hmm.
But at that age, I mean, it ain't much I can tell you if you have a kid at that age. It's going to be a lot of winging it. You finna figure out everything on the job, buddy.
Yeah. And even, like, I just feel like it's going to differ. Of course, there's going to be some common themes and some similarities when it comes to having a child at a young age. But everybody's experience is going to be different because everybody's situation is different. But I definitely would say if you have, hopefully, you have a support system.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, because that's definitely helped us out so much when we were younger.
Yeah, and then my oldest daughter, if she didn't do anything, I tell her all the time that she made me a man. I tell her this. I probably told her that last month. I tell her all the time that she made me a man, like making sure I had a paycheck, making sure I was consistent with things. I had another person to feed outside of myself. I couldn't wait till my daughter was like starving, hungry to feed her. You got to be ahead of these things. Like, she made me think in the future. As they say, a father, like the word far is in there. Like, I had to think farther than myself. Yeah, it is.
It's
like farther. Farther. That's what I meant to say. Not far. Farther, though. Like, you kind of
I don't
say it.
Get it.
Like, a father thinks farther. It don't sound the same.
Oh, okay. Father thinks farther. I thought you were saying father was spelled F-A-R.
I did. Then I had to think about it. It's not spelled like that. But you knew what I was going for, though. But, yeah, I had to think further. She made a man out of me very quickly. And I thank her for that.
Yeah.
How do you deal with the timing of things taking longer than expected, like career paths? Nip Hustle has a great line in one of my favorite songs from him. He says that somehow perfect timing feels like I'm too late. And that's how things, when it comes on perfect timing, you're fully prepared to accept it. When you're fully prepared for something, you went through every lesson, you had to take your time to receive it. It has been at times very nerve-wracking to want something so bad and not get it until a certain period, but I am grateful that I got it at the time in which I did, because I know so much more now that I would not have known had I got it when I first wanted it. I'd have been so much more in the dark. I didn't have the knowledge. Because I didn't have it, I had to keep seeking the knowledge to obtain it. And once I fully had the knowledge, the universe felt that I fully had the knowledge, then it was given to me, but not a moment sooner. So just have patience with it. I know it hurts when you don't have, because wanting brings pain. So just calm down. It'll come, and be patient. And when you do have it, again, you'll be well prepared for it.
Agreed. Couldn't have said it any better.
So are you vegan or plant-based?
We are plant-based. For about 6+ years now, I feel like at first we used to carry the title vegan.
Mm-hmm.
But hardcore. Yeah, hardcore. But after a while, we were just like, okay, I feel like it's a weight was kind of lifted off my shoulder when I was like, okay, I'm not vegan anymore. I'm now plant-based. Although we still eat vegan. We still eat a plant-based lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like it's so much weight, especially online. Like,
yeah.
And I also wanted to lose that title too, because, so I don't know how many of y'all know, but I actually create content centered around, of course, wellness, spirituality, but also plant-based living. But there were so many times I've seen other creators who no longer vegan, you know what I'm saying? And not that I like foresee that for me, because this lifestyle has worked out so amazing for me. But the comments, like their followers would be going at them so crazy. Yeah. And, like, that's just not something that I wanted to be a part of. Like, mm-hmm. I don't, like, okay, they changed their mind. It didn't work for them. Okay, that's okay. But you would have people in the comments just like, talking crazy to these people.
A lot of people, whenever you want to add structure to your life, a lot of people rejoice in you falling off. And veganism is structure. Like, it's like you saying no to this and you eating certain specific things.
Mm-hmm.
It's a structure to your eating. And people love to see, like, people fall off. Mm-hmm. Whatever they want to be, whether it be you going to the gym, people love to see you like stop that or stop eating well. People love to see a person who says they're religious act in a non-Christian or non-Muslim way or something like that. People love to see people knocked off their rocker for some odd reason.
But even like with that, I think it was more so, remember, I think that was last week we talked about your personal dream versus the dream of the planet. I think with that, these people no longer fit into, I guess these content creators, these YouTubers no longer fit into their followers' like dream of or perception of them, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they didn't identify as that thing anymore. And they just went crazy,
yeah,
basically.
We are plant-based. We don't consume meat on any type of regularly basis.
Mm-mm.
I had fish. My grandma made some fried fish over the weekend. That was my first meat in three to four years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's nowhere near a regular thing that we consume meat at all. We are just, like I said, plant-based. We cut the meat out because it personally helps you know, but it's no hard line.
Nah, it's not. Like, it's what works for us. And as always, do what works for you.
That feeling that you're running out of time to enjoy a life deserved. You want to go first?
I'll let you go first.
Well, the first thing that came to my mind when I read the sentence out loud is like, deserved. I always think
that's the word that stuck out to me too.
Deserve is a very tricky word. Like, our feelings say we deserve a certain thing, but what have we put out there to be served? Because that's what it ultimately is. Deserve is you being served something that you put out there. So mm-hmm. What did you put out there to even receive this kind of service back, this kind of life back? I get you on that feeling that you're running out of time, but nobody on earth knows how much time they have left. You could have decades left on this world. You don't know this. Take your time. Take your time with it all. You're not running out of time at all. What is happening is you running out of patience and you starting to panic.
Mm-hmm.
Just take your time with it. Enjoy the life that you have as is right now. There's more beauty around you than you believe.
Yeah.
We discovered that, you know, we live in Arkansas. It ain't L.A. with the beach. It ain't New York and Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? But there's beauty even in this state that we live in, the trees, the lakes.
Yeah, we just noticed that
Yeah, we ride past it every day, but you can ride past peace.
It's like, it's so much nature.
So much. And I look at, you know, my dogs and them who stay in Brooklyn, they be showing, like, they be on live walking down the street.
Ain't no trees.
No trees.
What are trees?
Like, what the fuck the trees? Like, all of that. Like, you know what I mean? Just appreciating what you do have.
Yeah. For me, like you said, the word deserving really just stuck out. I think of the word deserving in two different ways. And I feel like the ways I think of it is kind of contradictory. But one, we're deserving. It's our birthright. Just by existing, we deserve all good things. We deserve beautiful things. We deserve a life that we love.
Agreed.
Number two, you have to think about it in a logical sense. If we're talking about tangible things or even like just a positive mindset, you know what I'm saying? Kind of like you said, like about when it comes to putting in the work, even when you think about the work that is you deserve to have, you know, joy and peace, right? Like I said before, you deserve that. It's your birthright. But if you're doing everything in your power to contradict that belief of you deserve peace and joy, for example, hanging out with people that don't mean you any good, doing things that's detrimental to your well-being, then how can you be deserving of peace and joy? Because I feel like if you're doing the things that are opposite of that belief, then deep down, do you really believe that? And that's when you have to tell yourself, like, this is my birthright. I deserve that.
Yeah.
And then you have to do the things to give yourself that, to be in that space mentally, physically, spiritually.
Yeah, you got to work for peace. You got to work to have a good attitude.
Agreed.
You got to work for joy. I know joy is in you. I know a positive attitude is in you, but you actually have to work for it, do things, you know what I mean, that align with that.
Exactly.
So it just can't be, I guess it's just not free.
Yeah.
Like, I guess it's just not free. You have to work for all these things.
Yeah. I feel like it is free, but I feel like because we have been so far away from who we truly are because of society, because of capitalism, all the mm-hmm. toxic things in the world, it feels like work.
Yeah, but when I say free, I don't mean like it costs, but if you want to have a positive attitude, you have to have positive thoughts. So you have to work on having positive thoughts.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's still work.
I know what you meant, though. Okay. I know what you
just
mean.
Just breaking it down.
Yeah. And to go back to that first part of that question, the feeling that you're running out of time. I know I answered that question backwards, but time is a concept. Mm-hmm. That's really how I have to think about time sometimes, to not get so caught up in capitalism and what everybody else is doing. Because I think we answered this a little bit earlier. Somebody else had a question that was kind of similar. Running out of time. I don't have enough time. What makes you think you don't have enough time? Because you're looking at what everybody else is doing. You are comparing your reality, your experience to what you expected, or what other people expected, or what you see other people doing. You have time.
Okay, this next one. How to move on from a serious relationship.
Yeah, we had a lot of questions about breakups.
Yeah, a lot of them about breakups.
A lot, yes.
You want to go first?
I'll let you lead.
So, how do I put this? A lot of times when you've been in a serious relationship with somebody, and I'm talking about relationships, not just, you know, what is
romantic.
It like? Romantic. Just friendships.
Platonic, yeah.
Platonic relationships. Family. With family members. All of these are relationships, and they all are handled in the exact same way. Just the certain things you do with each person is kind of different.
Yeah, the context is different.
The context of what goes on in a relationship is different, but all relationships run on the same foundations. So I feel like once you have been committed to somebody for so long, it's never or less whether you're just completely done with the relationship, you're over with, you're out of it, but just it changes, right? We and you can no longer be lovers. We are better off maybe just acquaintances and friends.
Mm-hmm.
If we can't be friends and acquaintances, then our relationship will ultimately just alter into something else. But it never ends, kind of, right? I feel like serious relationships actually never end.
Yeah.
True serious ones never end. No matter how toxic a relationship is, those real ones never kind of end. No matter how bad they did you, you usually still don't wish bad or anything like that on them. So how do you move on? You just go about altering how you deal with that relationship now. Right? If they were toxic to you, whatever it may have been, you try to find a way. Of course, you cut off all lines that they have into making you feel that way. But it doesn't mean you got to throw that person away completely. I've changed my relationship with my family over the years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't throw them away, but I changed the relationship in a way that suited me better.
Right.
You know what I mean? Whether it's taking priority with my time, my energy, where I go, how long I speak with them, or whatever it might be. These are serious relationships, so I can't cut them off, but I definitely got to handle them better.
Agreed. I feel like, especially at a young age, breakups... And I'm talking romantically. Well, I guess it can go for anything, but I know a lot of people were asking about romantic relationships. It can definitely feel like the world is ending.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're young like that, I feel like you're looking for somebody to see you. You're looking for your person. And when you finally feel like you have that person and then it end up not working out, it can definitely feel like the world is ending.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Sidebar, we broke up before.
We broke up plenty of time.
Yeah, but it was one good little breakup.
We did. When?
I think it was like, I can't remember what year it was, but it was kind of like you was going back to school.
Okay.
In college mm-hmm. back then. Are you getting the gist of it now?
Yeah.
This time period?
Mm-hmm.
I took it very hard. Had never been...
You never been dumped?
Never in my life. ever been. I guess I'd never been fucked up by a girl in my life
mm-hmm.
to that point. I had missed work for some days.
You thought you was sick.
I thought I was sick, y'all.
He was love sick. I was hurt too, though.
I don't believe so.
Oh my God, I was.
I don't believe so, but I was distraught. Like you say, the world ending, I was like that for a good, probably 72 hours. Mm-hmm. I remember the first day I was okay.
And I came around.
No, I didn't see you that day.
Oh.
I went back to work, and I just felt better because I told myself I was focusing on me. Just focus on me.
Yeah, that's what I was going to.
And I felt so much better from that point on. Mm-hmm. I was able to even deal like with you again, like coming back around and things like that. It was cool. Like I had moved on again. We hadn't cut each other completely out because remember, serious relationships never kind of end. We just altered them. You know what I mean? We were more friends. You pulled up. We spent some time together, not like it used to be, but mm-hmm. just like checking in on each other, and then you know we go on our separate lives. Then
yeah,
and that's how it was. But then something brought us back together.
Yeah, I think too, because like I know that you keep saying that relationships don't ever end, and I do agree with that, especially if it's family, if you with somebody that y'all have children together, you know what I'm saying? But sometimes relationships really just need to end. I believe that you can be in a long-term relationship and it wasn't good for you. You thought it was good, but then you got introduced to something that, or you in some way, shape, or form, yeah, you realize, like, this is actually not good. This is not good for me. So I think sometimes it is, and you do have to cut people completely off sometimes. And it can feel like grief, like, you know, someone dying. And although this person is still physically here with us on earth, you will go through the four stages of grief. I can't think of what they are right now, but you will go through those stages, and that's okay. My best advice is to feel all the feelings that you feel. Like I always say, feel it all. The only way you're going to be able to get through, you know, grieving this person, grieving this relationship, is to feel it. And in the end, you're going to be okay. Like, the world is not ending. Life is not over. You still have so much life to live. And think about all the amazing people you're going to meet, whether it be romantic or platonic, because you decided to choose you in this situation. It'll be okay.
Mm-hmm. Call Ree.
Call me. I really want a hotline. I want a hotline.
Maybe we get a separate phone. We get a hotline. Just talk to people. I want to say her name because we know her. Brittany.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Brittany.
Yeah, what's up, Britt? She asked, what continues to push y'all to stay in entrepreneurship? You want to go first?
What pushes me to stay in entrepreneurship? It's kind of like what you said earlier. Like, I'm choosing my own fate in a sense. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no ceiling on what it is I can do mentally, physically, spiritually, any ideas that I have financially. And then, like, just to be honest, if we don't keep working, we don't get no money. We don't get paid.
That was real simple.
I mean, it is because, I mean, at the end of the day, of course we love this. I feel like we do everything that we do from our heart, from our soul. We put everything into what it is that we do. But, like, niggas got to eat.
You are funny. For me, what keeps me going is that I was nobody's favorite. You know, I worked a bunch of jobs for a very long time. I had my first job probably when I was like 17 or 18.
Me too.
All the way up to that point, you know, 40 hours, you know what I mean? Every week, like I said, I had a kid young, so I was always working. Mm-hmm. When Marie went to school, I worked so we could, you know, have money and eat. During that time period, I worked forever, and I was nobody's favorite. I always went to work. I always did my job, did it well. No promotions came my way, no raises, no none of that. Nobody ever chose me. So, now you know all, because I'll say this, at the time it felt like all. Nobody recognizes me at any of these jobs, no matter what I do. Nobody recognizes me. But all I feel like all the universe really was pushing me forward was to choose myself. Mm. That's why I stayed with entrepreneurship, because finally somebody said you.
Yeah.
You get the job. You get it. So finally somebody saw it in me. And that was me. That's how I knew entrepreneurship was for me, because shit, I tried the capitalist, you know, I tried to give y'all me in exchange for resources to take care of my family. You niggas couldn't even give me that, bro.
Yeah.
So it was like, no, fuck it. I'll go get it myself. And getting myself has got me way further than a job has. Now, for other people, it may be adverse. Like, a lot of people, they have wonderful jobs.
Right.
You know, they took care of them, but it never happened for me.
Right. So I agree with that.
That's why entrepreneurship is for me.
I love that answer. I second that. I chose me. Everything you said.
So, in a world full of tangible things, how do you stay focused?
Great question.
Me just staying close to what I want, like, spiritually, is one reason why I can stay focused, especially on this entrepreneurship. Especially when you work for yourself, your money come in, everything's to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy when you the boss, the worker, you all the hats to make very bad decisions.
Yeah.
It's very easy to be like, all this money just came in. We just dropped totes. All this money just came in. I deserve some things. Let me go buy some. Yeah, let me get a little couple of this, this, that, and the third. It's very easy to get caught up in the materialistic race, especially living on this side of the world where materials ultimately get you treated a certain way.
Yeah.
It's very easy to get caught up in it. But then resource back to self.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why do you do this? What do you love and what's truly in you? Stay focused in on them things.
Yeah. I feel like most of my life I was really caught up in a consumerism trap because that's ultimately what it is. It's consumerism. Mm-hmm. There's a feeling. There are two feelings that I get whenever I purchase something. There was a point in my life where I felt like it was always something that I needed. It was always something that I wanted. And once I got that thing that I wanted, it was something else. So it was just like a cycle that kept repeating itself. There was a theme that I learned, that I noticed with this, like, here recently. When you're online, you're ordering a thing that you want, you are so excited. Up until the day that you get the package, like, whoo, like, you anticipating, man. Like, you feeling good. You're so happy, like, right? But when that product, that thing, when it comes in, when you get it, I feel like the high kind of goes down. And I be like, did I really need this? Like, of course I wanted it, but did I really need this thing? And that feeling that I had when I was waiting for that item to come in, that feeling of wholeness, it dissipates. It disappears once it's here. And it's just like,
you gotta go get the next thing.
It's anticlimactic.
Yes, you go to.
And so you do it over and over and over again. And from that experience, I realized that all I need is within me. I don't need tangible things. I don't need, of course we have wants, we have desires, but I will be okay if I don't get that thing that I think I so desperately need. And I always resort back to like, now you remember last time you ordered something and it came in. You really wouldn't like satisfy.
You order some shoes and you put them with the shoes. You're like, damn, but I really need some different shirts now to go with the shoes. Yeah. And then you need a new hat to go with the shirt and the shoes.
Yeah.
The shit is endless if you let it go that way.
Yeah, and if you find that theme happening in your life, you need to look within and journal it out, run it out, cry it out, do whatever it is. Because, sis, bruh, something is off.
Okay, next. Are you guys religious?
So, I am not religious. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a home where we did go to church. And somewhere along the lines, I decided that path, that lifestyle wasn't necessarily for me. Based on some things that I experienced, based on what I seen, I just felt like it wasn't for me. I mean, we obviously are spiritual. And I don't know, that's just what aligns.
But do you believe in a higher power?
I think you can believe in God and not be religious. Absolutely. I believe in a higher power. Because that's a spiritual connection. And even with certain things, like when you think of prayer, like, oh, I'm praying, I'm doing this. Those are all still spiritual acts.
Mm-hmm.
Those are spiritual acts. And I had to remind myself of that. Like praying, that's a spiritual act. That's a spiritual connection to you and a higher power.
Mm-hmm.
Are you religious?
I have been getting back into religion.
Mm-hmm.
Like we both grew up, would probably say, in a Christian household.
Yeah.
My family had the church attendance was at Easter. I probably went to church on Easter and when there was a funeral.
No, we was there every Sunday.
Yeah, it was different. We didn't. We had spurts where we were going, and then, but for the most part, no. It had been a very long time. Even before, last time I went to church, my oldest daughter, who is 11 now, probably was like 3. Mm-hmm. And the time before that, it had been about 10 years before I had walked into a church.
Yeah.
So I had got away from religion. I didn't feel connected.
Yeah, that's the word.
To connected. Christianity. Maybe because it wasn't really taught to me, because more or less it was just preached at me. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really taught to me. And I just didn't feel connected with it. And then when I got older, there were other things and, you know, propaganda. Some of the things were true. Some of the things weren't true about the religion that, you know, my family had, you know, quote unquote, was
adopted,
under.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to get off Christianity, got off religion for a bunch of years, probably 20 years off religion. Well, close to about 10, 15.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Got off religion. But somehow, some way, something was just like speaking to me about like the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been reading the Quran for probably, I'd say about a year, maybe. Mm-hmm. A year and some change. And it has been an extreme help. I know one of the questions in here is, how has reading the Quran helped me?
Yeah.
It's been a better understanding of life, patience, what I feel like God expects of me in this lifetime. And it has really like gave me some type of structure,
yeah,
spiritually that I didn't know I needed or mm-hmm. was looking for. It's been a good experience for me. It's been all positive when I've read the Quran. I haven't had something move me, a religious book ever move me in this way.
Yeah.
So it's been really good. I wouldn't call myself a Muslim. I don't know enough yet. I'm still, like I said, reading, researching, trying to learn. It's not if I'm trying to learn if it's for me. I know the Quran is for me, but I didn't grow up Islamic in the culture. So it's so new to me. Everything is.
Right.
So I'm hearing phrases like, I used to hear the phrase, Allah Akbar. I used to think it was bad. It just sounded bad when I heard it.
What? Well, because propaganda.
Yeah. And Western culture, it sounds. Yeah. The only thing I know that sounds similar to that is like
Osama bin Laden.
Yeah. It's like Allah Akbar mm-hmm. sounded like something like that because I grew up here and, you know, that was the enemy for this country.
Yeah, which is crazy.
That's a whole nother topic. We're not even going to get into it. But it sounded something bad to now find out that's such a beautiful phrase. If somebody ever says that to you.
Yeah, what does it mean?
I think it means Allah is great. I believe that's what it means. It could mean something different. Like I said,
yeah,
but I'm learning, but though. But around that.
Yeah.
But like I said, this book has helped me out a lot.
Yeah. And
one thing is interesting, like to be in a household where I'm religious, my wife is not religious, though.
Yeah, and no. I was going to say, but even like you'll read it and we pray every night because of you. So you learning about yourself in the Quran and just getting closer to who you're meant to be has helped us out. And then like I also noticed within myself, when I first stopped being religious, I was so like judgmental. Anytime I hear about religion or hear God, like I'd be like, huh, oh my God. Like literally there's this girl that I watch, and I remember maybe 2 years ago, anytime she started talking about Christianity and God, I'd be like, oh my God, I would click out of it. But I've noticed so much growth within myself and I've become so much more open and receptive. Is that the right word?
Yeah, that's
receptive
right.
To other people's religion and just listening and learning, because although I'm not Christian and although I'm not a religious person, doesn't mean that these different religions has lessons. Wait, different religions don't have lessons that I can learn from.
Yeah, I think over the years, you as we've come back to it, I think you've started to see the spirituality in religion.
Yeah, right. For sure.
Before I couldn't see it. I just it was just more just only religion.
Yeah.
You know, but now I think if I'm looking at it right, you can see the spirituality inside of religion now.
Absolutely. But like I said, I'm open and receptive and very supportive of your religious journey.
Yeah. And I think in today's time, it'd be so, you know, we live in a time period where, you know, everything is like, it's very sensitive, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I think sometimes religion don't be like cool to even say that you like believe in God or you know what I mean? Things like that. We live in a period where it's like, I don't know. It seems like a weird period sometimes to say, like, I fuck with God.
You
know
yeah, I mean? Like, God the homie. Like, but, nah, I feel you. And even that, like, I feel like we live in, I'm not only now, but, like, in human history, everything is so binary. Like, this yes. or that. Like, yeah, I can't yeah. be spiritual and, like, no, I'm going to do what I want. Mm-hmm. I'm, like, I believe in a higher power, you know. And I'm at the end of the day, I'm going to do what aligns with me, what feels good in my soul.
Yes. Okay, next. The biggest blessing you feel you can bring to the world. Remembrance of patience is my biggest thing I want to throw in the world. I feel like mm-hmm. through my music, as when I talk about just patience and being cozy, like in the life you have now, and just because I remember when I was going through my period of panic, my period of I'm not where I'm supposed to be, I'm lagging, I'm behind. You know, say everybody else doing this, that, and the third. I remember that period. There was nobody telling me, slow down, be right. patient, take your time, love exactly. on you, give yourself grace. There was nobody telling me that.
Especially in the format that you're putting it out in. Like yeah. in music.
Like in music, it was nobody telling me that. Nobody in my household. You know, if I ever spoke about, oh, I feel like I'm behind, or anything like that, in my household, like most households, they would tell you to get to work. Then.
Yep, do this, do get, this, get, this.
Yeah, grind harder, go harder, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Keep pushing. Nobody told me that. You know, ease your mind. It takes time to get to these things that you want to get to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my biggest blessing I want to try to get the world is remembrance of patience.
Yeah. I think my biggest blessing that I could give to the world is just simply showing up. And I think that's, like, very broad to say. Like, it's vague. Simply showing up. Because one of my favorite things I heard this year is that when you show up, when you follow your path, follow your purpose, when you learn who you are and do the things that you're meant to do in this world, you directly affect someone else's purpose. You directly affect someone else's life. So I think that just showing up, being me, talking about my experiences, even though they are mundane, you have no idea who has experienced this thing, who will experience this particular thing. So for me, I think the best thing that I can do for myself and for the world is just to show up as my most authentic self. I think the times that we live in, we see so much online, we see so just everywhere, we see so much, and somewhere along the line, we lost a sense of authenticity. So the best thing I can do is just show up my most authentic self.
Okay. Love that.
Thank you.
Okay, there you go. Okay, next. How do you guys avoid letting each other's bad moods not get to one another?
We don't. We don't avoid it.
I think sometimes we do.
I think I can try, but I don't know. I hate when you're sad.
I do, too. I hate when you say it. And ultimately, I try to do a little, I don't try to, like, entertain, but I try to, you know, give you some type of attention, some love, let you know you are loved and cared for, and that, hey, this is temporary. One thing we always say is everything is temporary.
Mm-hmm.
This is temporary. You'll be over it. There have been times where, you know, you've been sad, and I think the last time I remember you being sad, I was like, hey, I know we're going to have lunch. You was going to cook lunch. And I was like, oh, let's go do a picnic instead of eating it at the house.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, little things like that. We was going to eat anyways. We just take it outside. You know, we get you around nature. You mm-hmm. know, it helps your partner out. But the biggest thing is just knowing you can't heal everything in somebody you love.
Absolutely.
You can't. It's a lot of the things, like you say, they don't have anything to do with me. Nothing at all. It has nothing to do with me that you feel that way. It's not in a rude way that, like, hey, you know what I mean? I can't be like, hey, no, I don't fuck with you today. You stay in that room. I stay over here. But it's one of those things, like, hey, I understand that they going through something, but I can't let that affect me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I can't help her properly, and I can't help myself properly if I let that affect me.
Yeah, I feel that. And you have to remember that. And this kind of go back to a question that we had earlier, like one of the biggest lessons that I've learned in this long-term term relationship. My partner isn't here to save me. I think whenever I first entered a relationship or even was looking for a relationship, like at 15, 16, you know what I'm saying, I think ultimately I wanted to be seen. I wanted to feel loved, but I think a large part of it was that I wanted to somebody to I wanted someone to come and save me. Save me from what? At the time, I didn't know. I could probably tell you now, but we're not going to get into that. But yeah, my partner is not here to save me. They can support me. Why did I say they? Like I have more than one partner. He can support me.
Maybe do. See,
and don't. He can support me. You know what I'm saying? But it is ultimately up to me. It is ultimately up to you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I have to keep that at the forefront of my mind so I don't get trapped into this cycle of, like you said, kind of like entertainment, like doing every single thing in your power to make my partner feel better. Because at the end of the day, it'll pass. You have to understand that it's temporary and it'll pass. And ultimately, he'll get through it.
He will.
I'll get through it.
Free ticket and to stay anywhere in the world where you headed to.
Free ticket to anywhere in the world? Ooh, I don't know right now. I want to say Paris.
Paris?
Yes. What about you?
I might actually say London.
London.
I might say London. I might want
to
go there.
You might want to
go
to London.
I don't know why London, because I never would actually say London usually.
That's strange that you would say London.
I know. Usually you thought I was going to say
New York.
I know. I knew. That would be my close second if I couldn't get to London.
San Francisco would be my first.
You loved Frisco when you went out there.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Let me think something else real quick for y'all. I don't know how to do that. Somebody said, how do you make friends as an adult?
You do the things that you
help
love
me.
To do.
Help me. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you do the things that you love to do. You go to the library. Like, go to the places that you like. Because you don't want to go to the club. I mean, unless you like it. Unless that's your thing. But I'm not a clubber.
I can't dance.
I'm not a clubber. So, like, my friends aren't going to be at the club. Go to the library. Go to cute little coffee shops. Go to thrift shops. Like, just go to places that you love. And you'll find people who align with you.
Yeah, I'm still struggling with the making friends as an adult.
Me too, but I think that's advice I would give myself.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like the right answer. But
it does, yeah.
I'm definitely pretty much still in that struggle sometimes. I'd be right there sometimes with people, though. You ever had a good conversation with somebody and see you?
I feel like as an adult, though, friends are more of a commitment. I think it's easier to keep the friends that you've had than to make new ones. Unpopular opinion, but I think
it's easier, but it ain't always healthier.
It's yeah, of course, absolutely.
I think it's easier, but it ain't always healthier. I just like everybody talk about their day ones, but for what day are we counting from? The day that y'all met me, or the day that I finally met me?
Ooh,
like
that's a good one.
Where's day ones we counting from?
Yeah. Another question is: do you always follow your heart?
Want me to go first?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. My heart would lead me financially broke sometime.
Is that really your heart, though?
Baby, yes. I be wanting this shit.
That is not your heart.
Let you tell it. But, I mean, they go back to, like, feelings are not facts. I feel so strongly that I deserve this. There's a fact that I should never go get it type shit. But, no, I don't always follow my heart because, again, the heart... It's a lot of emotion, and in this life that we live, some decisions do need to be calculated. You know what I mean? I can't let my heart make all my decisions, but I do, whenever I am making decisions, I will, if I have a gut feeling about something, then I will follow that.
Yeah, I feel like, no, I don't always follow my heart. Mm-mm. I think that we, in general, so many of us don't always follow our heart because we want to protect our heart. And it's, I don't know if that's good or bad.
I mean, you got to have boundaries, though.
Yeah, I think that's interesting.
Okay, one book.
One book?
One book.
Like, for the rest of my life?
One book on an island for a month. One book right now, just any book.
One book on an island for a month, If Beale Street Could Talk, by James Baldwin.
Fucking good one. I'm going to go with In True Thug Fashion.
I'm going.
If I'm gonna be there for a month, I need something like that.
And it's a series, so it's ooh, a series, that would be a
so
good
I got,
one.
I got a good one.
Yeah, we love our hood tales.
I love me a good ratchet tale. I'm sorry, I gotta have one of them.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be somewhere for that long. Let me think of something else. Now I'm just asking you questions. I would actually like to just
Do you like me? Yes or no?
No, I do not. Next question. Next question, please. If you could be in any other career and know it was gonna work out, what would you be?
I would be a lawyer. Fun fact, yeah. Fun fact, whenever I was finishing my undergrad, I actually dabbled with the idea of going to law school.
You did.
Yeah, I think I could be a bomb lawyer.
I agree. You like to argue.
I like to research.
You like to do a lot of research.
I do.
You like to do research.
Shout out to college, though, because that's the reason why I like to do research. I had to do so much research in college. Any other career you would do?
It was either be, and this other one just came out recent. You know, I'd probably be a teacher.
Right, a history teacher.
A history teacher, mm-hmm. probably in one of mine. Or I would like to have my own foster house or I don't know what it's called.
Is that a career, though?
I don't know. I mean, it's something else.
A foster
different.
Home. We did have that conversation the other day.
I would like to do a foster home if I could not be a teacher. Yeah. I would like to be a teacher. Yeah. I'm thinking, I used to think high school or middle school. I'm thinking now I might want to be a professor.
Oh, God.
Why you say,
all
oh, God?
All the girls going to want you.
You said what?
All the girls going to want you. I'm going to have to fight every day. I have to fight every day.
Professors' wives don't fight on campus, man. You cannot show out like that.
I will.
You cannot show
One
out
One thing about
my
me,
university.
Y'all, I'm spiritual, but I'm still a little...
Yeah, but if I could be,
I'm not gonna fight anybody though. Just kidding.
I might be Professor Sunset.
Yeah, I could see you as a professor for sure.
Yeah, I think I could do that. But with that being said, guys.
With that being said, thank you so much for spending time with us today. I love doing Q&As; they're my favorites. We love you. Sending you so much peace, so much abundance, so much joy, and everything you need in this moment. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Peace.